Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Westport, Connecticut, and earned a Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of Connecticut. He spent 35 years as a business advisor in operations and technology across a variety of industries. He is the author of New Man Journey, which provides a practical game plan for men seeking purpose, fulfillment, and spiritual growth in the second half of their life. His name, Steve Silver, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Steve Silver, the founder of Men's Golf Fellowship. Steve, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thanks, Jack. It's great to be with you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
As you say, I was actually born in New York City, and then my parents moved us up to Westport, Connecticut when I was 6 years old. My father was a journalist, worked for CBS Television, and which was always a big deal for me because all of the literature and all the envelopes and everything around the house were that big CBS eye. and because he was a journalist, he actually handled a lot of public relations for CBS and handled early shows such as the Ed Sullivan Show and the Twilight Zone and Milton Berle and all of these great celebrities. We used to get Christmas presents from some of these folks, and my father would entertain them all at 21 Club in New York City and at Trader Vic's, and it was a very romantic job, and that was something I thought I would always want to do, but I ended up doing something else. My mother was a at-home mom who worked occasionally doing answering service work or working as a receptionist in a very nice little hotel in Westport. And I had a brother, Peter, who was 2 years older than me and still my brother, lives in Taiwan, running the English department for the State University of New York over there. So that's a quick snapshot.
You attended the seminary for 3 years as a young man. Steve, why did you leave?
Well, I actually thought that I wanted to go into the formal ministry. And as I got through seminary and I started to look around at some of my colleagues and peers, I started to take a closer look at what a career would be like in the formal ministry in a church. It just didn't seem to be a good fit for me. It had nothing to do with my faith. My Christian faith was very solid. But professionally, I just didn't think it would be something that would work for my personality and my ambitions. And so instead of that, I moved into the business world, and that was it.
You mentioned business career. You spent 35 years in a business career. Tell us about that part of your life.
Yes. Well, when I got out of seminary, I had no idea how to get into the business world. And I had a young family and needed money. So I said, don't even know where to start. So I took a job selling Electrolux vacuum cleaners door to door and learned that I had pretty good selling skills. But I knew I didn't want to make a career as a door to door vacuum cleaner salesman. Had a pretty good education, but it was enough to get me on the on-ramp of business and guided in the general direction of sales. So I took my experience, and I interviewed with Xerox Corporation, and they said, gee, if you can succeed selling vacuum cleaners for 6 months, we think you can succeed selling copiers. So they hired me, and I was with Xerox for 5 years from a territory rep, and I became a national account executive handling several large national accounts for the company. And then after 5 years, I concluded that, similar to seminary experience, that I didn't visualize myself working for a major corporation. When I looked around and I looked at the people 1 and 2 and 3 levels above me, I didn't think that that's what I wanted to be. So I thought, you know, I think I need to own my own business. So I started my own firm in the management training and development business by buying a franchise that sold management and sales package training programs, plopped down $25,000 back in 1977, took the training, and I was off and running, and that's what got me into the consulting business.
Talk about that 30 years of consulting, both in operations and technology.
Well, when I started, Jack, I would go into a company. It would be a 16-week course. I would teach it, and when the course was over, after a 16-week period of time, we'd be done. But during that 16 weeks, I would learn an awful lot about the problems that these companies were going through. And these were mainly manufacturing plants. And within about 2 or 3 years, I migrated from the training business to the problem-solving business. And these were operational types of problems having to do with quality control, having to do with productivity, et cetera. And the problems fell into two categories: people problems, that is just simply managing people more effectively, which I had a good natural skill to assist in that area, and technical problems, which I didn't have the ability to do. So I brought in people who were engineers and technical people to help me do that. And over the years, as the firm grew, we were sort of did both types of things. In my area was the organizational and people side, and then the other folks was the more technical areas.
We're talking to Steve Silver, who's a semi-retired executive who now spends his time helping men find meaning in retirement. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Steve Silver. Steve, let's go back to 2003.
Okay.
You're 56, and you decide to retire from business consulting after 35 years. Tell us about that transformation in your life.
Okay. When I was 56, I had an opportunity to sell my shares of the business that I founded to some other partners that I had brought on along the way, and finish with the firm that I started. The firm continues to go on today. It's now a division of a very large company. And in fact, my daughter, who started with me after college, is still with that firm in a very key role. Besides handling a few clients for about 4 or 5 years after I sold my shares in the business, I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do with all this free time? I'm 56, far from done, and I was spending winters. My wife and I were spending winters in Naples, Florida, and a pretty avid golfer, not a really good one, but an avid one. And I have been for many years, and most of my really good friendships were my golf friendships. But I was still a very active layman in the church, and I decided that I wanted to try to integrate my faith life with my golf friendship life a bit. And that was my intention. So I pulled together a few like-minded men and said, what can we do to start up a conversation about faith in retirement or semi-retirement with our golf buddies, and formulated this idea of something called Men's Golf Fellowship. And that's what I set out to do back back in 2003, and now we're almost 12 years later with that, and that's turned out to be something bigger than a breadbasket.
You talk about that you add three basic questions that many recent retirees face. Can you talk about those three basic questions, please?
Well, I think that, you know, there's the practical questions, and then there's the more substantive personal questions. The practical questions are, you know, where do we want to spend our time? And so, obviously, men start to cast around, look at their, and women, couples start to cast around, like, where do they want to be? Second question, again, on a practical level, is how do we want to spend our time? So where do we want to be? What do we want to take up? Golf or what have you, travel, et cetera. And then on a more personal level, I think that people start to ask, you know, what are the things that we wish that we could work on and improve in our lives that perhaps we weren't taking enough time to focus on when we were busy, you know, making it in business and growing our family, et cetera. And those fall into several categories. Their relationship itself, their marriage, how can we improve this thing? It's just going to be the two of us. We want to be as happy as we can possibly be. We want to be as productive as we can possibly be in our relationship. We don't want to settle for less than that. And also with our children, our adult children and grandchildren, we want to patch up any fences that may have been broken. We want to make sure that we're better parents of our adult children than perhaps we even were when they were growing up. And we certainly want to learn from our experience with our grandchildren. I think that's a very critical area. And the third is the spiritual area, not for everybody, but for many people. They'll say, you know, how is it with our relationship with God? Where is our faith? And this is an area that we'd like to start to invest more time in and get that right.
You ask a basic question to a lot of recent retirees, and you say, are you satisfied? What answers do you normally get?
Well, you know, the first answer is yes, very satisfied, very happy. You know, this is the time we've been looking forward to. This is the best time of our life. It's great. But if you start to peel back the onion and you start to get to the second and third level conversation, you'll find that a lot of men are, in fact, not satisfied in certain areas. For example, they may have spent a great deal of time investing in a whole career and an identity associated with that career and a competency that they built over the years. And the truth of the matter is that that's not particularly relevant anymore. They may be on some boards and et cetera, but that's not nearly as relevant. So they may not be satisfied with their transition from something that they invested so much time into to, well, what's my next level of competency? So I think that they're not completely satisfied there. And they may not be completely satisfied with the depth of how they're spending their time. They might find, especially if they've been retired for a few years, that some of the patterns begin to get a little bit repetitive, a little redundant. You can only play so much golf. You can only go out to so many restaurants. And you can only look at the stock market so much. And then those start to become less stimulating.
We're talking to Steve Silver, the founder of Men's Golf Fellowship. Steve, tell us about Men's Golf Fellowship.
Well, Men's Golf Fellowship is for men who want to investigate and explore their faith life in the second half of their life. Whatever that is, it's always something that can benefit from a closer assessment and more exploration and more improvement. So our proposition is extremely simple. We want men who are good, close friends, golf friends, and of course, Jack, this could be in any context. It doesn't need to be golf. But in the particular world that I'm discussing, it's golf club friends. With your good friends who you don't normally have a faith relationship with or a faith conversation with, let's put it that way, we wanted to open up the opportunity for men to explore their faith life with their golf friends. And that was the purpose, and that's exactly what we do.
We're talking to Steve Silver. When we come back, we'll ask him about his book, New Man Journey. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Steve Silver, author of New Man Journey. First, Steve, why that title?
Well, the New Man Journey alludes to the spiritual proposition that when you become a Christian, and of course it is a Christian orientation, it's a Christian book, something happens inside of you. When Christ comes to live inside of you, you begin a transformation process. The old person that was sort of, living for himself or herself and didn't necessarily have Christ consciously and actively, they weren't consciously and actively looking to make that transformation. The new man is what we're headed toward, which is the changed person that Christ makes in a life. Christ changes a life. Christ transforms every area of your life, your friendships, your marriage, your disposition and attitude toward your wealth and resources, your talents, etc. And as life goes on, and as you turn over more and more of these critical departments of your life, rooms of your life, so to speak, that's the movement more and more toward the new man, or the person that reflects the nature of Christ more and more in your life. And the journey is that journey toward that new man and away from the old man. So that's the proposition, and that's a lot of the conversation that we have in these men's golf fellowship groups. And so over the years, I learned an awful lot about how men think about that topic and how they go through that transformation. So New Man Journey just puts all that down in a very practical form. So it's geared toward men who are approaching retirement or in retirement, who want to explore, okay, I do want to be a new man. How do I go about doing that? It's easier said than done.
If you want to learn more, www.mgfnaples.com. Steve, I quote you now, this requires a rewiring of the house rather than just changing a light switch. Please.
Well, it's true. I think that one of the problems with many folks when they think about their spiritual journey is that they are, how shall I put this, putting lipstick on a pig, cosmetic surgery. They are not necessarily wanting a wholesale change from the inside out. They want to fix a little bit here, tinker a little bit there, but they really want to hold on to their nature as they've always known it and understood it. The Christian life, the life of discipleship, is a very full and whole, total, wholesale change from the inside out, and that analogy of rewiring versus a new light switch is tantamount to what we go through when we take this journey seriously. We are completely changed from the inside out to reflect and to look like and to live like Christ himself. That doesn't come easily.
There's a 41-year-old Australian man, Matthew Kelly, gives a lot of speeches, and he says that we always ask God for tweaking our family, our friends, our enemies, etc. However, God isn't in the business of tweaking. He is in the business of transforming.
Correct.
Steve, it seems to me there's a tremendous ongoing battle between the old man and the new man.
Yep.
Talk about that battle and how you handle that battle.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I am familiar with Matthew Kelly, and he's a terrific writer and speaker, and I highly recommend his work. This battle of the old man and the new man is precisely what we're talking about. I mean, St. Paul talked about it himself in Romans chapter 8, where he says, gee, the things that I want to be, I can't be, and the things that I am are the things that I don't want to be. So one of the greatest apostles that we have struggled with this. You say something unkind to your wife, and you're in the penalty box, and you know you've hurt her feelings, and you know you've ruined half of the day, and you say, why did I say that stupid thing? Now, I know you've never done that, Jack, but I have. And so why do we do the stupid things that we do? Why do we it's because our nature inside, this old man, still has power within us to come up and grab us, to say something caustic and sarcastic to a friend when we could have said something kind and reinforcing and reassuring, to say something to a child or a grandchild that's hurtful and separates and creates a wall between you and them that can take a long time to come back from. Why do we do the stupid things that we do? Why do we say the stupid things we say? And why do we think the stupid things we think? We all struggle with this. That's this old man who is looking for real estate and territory in our lives and to occupy the day-to-day interactions of our life. And then we have this new man, Christ, within us, who is gentle and kind and helpful and makes the people around them, enhances their life and their day and our family members. And we want to be those kinds of people. That's what we want. But there's this battle. So what we have to do is we have to ask Christ through his Holy Spirit to actively take control of that old man within us, to submit that old man to the power of Christ to change us. Paul even says, he said, who will save me from this terrible situation? And then he claims this fantastic thing, says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Christ has the power to do within us that we don't have the ability to do on our own. I learned long ago, Jack, to stop trying to change myself because I'm just not smart enough or good enough to do it, but to ask God to change me, to ask God to take control of those aspects of my nature which are unbecoming, and turn them into the kind of nature that he wants me to have. And that, for me, has been a 44-year job, and it's what I call sort of the Super Bowl of our faith. It's the game we're in, and the longer we live, the closer we get to the finish line, the more we want to be transformed, and we want to look more and more and more like Christ's nature and less like that old man nature. And I still have many yards to go, but I've come a lot further than I was when I started.
You say, he must increase and I must decrease. If there's a listener tonight, Steve, that says, you know, for the first 60 years of my life, I've been in control.
Right.
That's my nature. That's how I've achieved things. And you're telling me to submit and trust. Steve Silver, that dog don't hunt for me. I can't do that. What do you say?
Well, to that, a listener, I would say, are you happy with your circumstances? Is that 60 years and the end result of it that you've controlled and that you've taken control of and that you haven't involved God in, are you satisfied? If you're perfectly content and you're perfectly satisfied and you don't want anything different, then I say be on your way. But if you're at that point and you're at an inflection point and you say, if I'm very honest with myself, if I'm completely gut honest with myself, I would have to say, nope, I'm not completely satisfied. I just don't know how to change. To that person, I would say, God is bigger than you. And if you come to him honestly, earnestly, saying, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do it together, but I do trust you that you, even as encrusted as I am in here in my 60-year-old mentality, I'm asking you to break up all of that fallow ground and blow in that fresh, wonderful air and change me. God will do it. Nothing is impossible for God. I've seen this over and over again. The crustiest, most unchangeable people who have turned their lives to Christ at any given point in time, and God is able to do it. Why? Because he's God. And because he loves them so much, and like a father that loves a child, he rolls his sleeves up and gets involved in the change business.
We're talking to Steve Silver. If you want to learn more, www.mgfnaples.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Steve Silver, author of New Man Journey. If you want to learn more about the book, www.newmanjourney.com. Steve, I quote you once again, our greatest joy in this life is to be fully committed to God. Are you kidding me? We'll get taken. You can't live in this world today with that principle. Please.
You know, when we talk about being totally committed to God, and when I talk about the joy that comes from that, it really does not mean that to live totally for God and to be totally committed to God, that you need to go join a monastery or that you need to go into the mission field or that you need to unhook from and separate from your business life and your corporation or your golf friendships or any of that. It doesn't mean an exterior change to the physical context and circumstances of your life. And I think that that's where people get confused when they think about a total commitment to God. They think, well, that means you need to become a priest or something. No. What it means is total commitment to God means a total commitment to serving him versus serving yourself, working for him versus working for yourself, knowing that you were created by him and that he has a purpose for you, but you can't possibly fulfill that purpose if you don't cooperate with him actively in understanding what his purpose is and, as we talked about before, being transformed in your nature and your character so that you can be useful to him and for him and with him. It's a partnership. God has created this extraordinary arrangement whereby he has chosen to move and work in this world not independent of people who commit themselves to him, but in and with and through them. So, by committing ourselves fully to God, we're basically saying, you are my boss. You're my employer. You're the one who owns all of my resources. You're the one that owns all of my talents and time and energy. You're the one who gave me the wife you gave me and the family you gave me and the business that you gave me. I'm committing all of who I am, what I have, what I do, what I'm comprised of, what I'm composed of, back to you, because I know that you will do a much better job of utilizing me than I will on utilizing myself. So I'm making the trade. Not what I want, but what you want.
Speaking of the wife you gave me, let's talk about the impact of retirement upon the marriage relationship, and in many, many cases, how can this couple re-energize their marriage?
Well, of course, I have a spiritual answer for that, as you can imagine, and that is that when a marriage is based upon a mutual agreement in your faith, and when you ask the love of Christ to permeate and control and open up that relationship, that is far healthier and far better and far more substantive and meaningful than if you don't. Of course, when you're newly married, younger married, all of the full bloom of the rose of youth it carries you a long way. But as that starts to fade, and you start to get into a routine, and the romantic side of your relationship is not enough to carry you, that's when the power of the Holy Spirit really becomes necessary and important and vital. So when a couple enters retirement, they have this fantastic opportunity to say, hey, whatever the state of our marriage has been, good, bad, and ugly, because there's lots of good, but there's some ugly stuff in here too. We both know it. Let's commit that to the Lord and ask him to heal and reconcile and blow fresh air into it. No matter what it's been, God can change our marriage the same way that he changes us individually. And that is a fantastic opportunity, especially in retirement, if the couple holds hands, prays together, and agrees together, this is something we want to do. My book, New Man Journey, talks a lot about that, and it has some fictional characters who are approaching retirement and describes their past. And I think that these are inspirational illustrations that we can all find some relevance in our own lives. And I would encourage your readers to check out these couples that are in the book, New Man Journey.
www.newmanjourney.com. Steve, let's talk about two demons, anger and fear.
Well, anger, of course, comes from a lot of different places, and some men are more angry than others. Not every man, whether they're a Christian or not, is angry or has had anger issues. I had personally anger issues that were embedded in me by a father who was angry, and it kind of carried into my life. And so that was one of the things that I have had to really ask God to change and transform. I used to be a lot more angry than I am now, but I still have anger that pops up here and there. We all do, in situations as simple as when somebody cuts you off in traffic, your instinctive reaction is not to bless that person, but to curse them. And I believe that God wants to take complete control of our anger and really transform it into love and forgiveness. The other demon, fear, I think is the reverse flip side of anger, anxiety. The things that we fear are those things that we don't understand or we don't have a clear understanding of what the outcome will be, because we're focused on the future rather than the present. And I believe that God wants us to be completely, totally free of fear and anxiety, because he wants us to know and be assured that he is in control of our lives, and no matter what our circumstances, that they'll all work out for good if, in fact, he is in charge. So fear is just a crystal clear demonstration that we don't really trust God with every aspect and facet of our life. So if there's an area that you fear, you're probably not letting God have control of that area. If you're fearing money, it's because about money, it's because you haven't trusted God with your money. If you're fearing about your career, it's because you haven't trusted God with your career, etc.
Steve, as our time winds down together this evening, can you please lead us in a closing prayer?
I'd love to. Well, Lord, we thank you for the listeners who are out there this evening listening to this conversation. And just pray, Lord, that if this conversation has struck a chord with any man or any woman or any couple listening, that you will bless them in a unique and special way right now. Come into their life and make a new beginning for them. Wherever they stand, Lord, blow fresh air into their lives and cause your desire for them to be made known to them, and cause their hearts to be inclined toward you. Thank you for the listeners, Lord. Thank you that you created them, and just ask for you to just take control of their lives and give them that wonderful peace and joy and love and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which can only come from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Steve Silver, what a shining example of what Mother Teresa used to say, that we are all a little pencil in the hand of God. Keep
perfect.
Up the great work. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Believe in yourself.